From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and the founder of the Let the Bible Speak ministry. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Job chapter 29 and verse 2. Oh, that I were as in months past! Numbers of Christians can view the past with pleasure, but regard the present with dissatisfaction. They look back upon the days which they have passed in communing with the Lord as being the sweetest and the best they have ever known. But as to the present, it is clad in a sable garb of gloom and dreariness. Once they lived near to Jesus, but now they feel that they have wandered from Him, and they say, Oh, that I were as in months past! They complain that they have lost their evidences, or that they have not present peace of mind, or that they have no enjoyment in the means of grace, or that conscience is not so tender, or that they have not so much zeal for God's glory. The causes of this mournful state of things are manifold. It may arise through a comparative neglect of prayer, for a neglected closet is the beginning of all spiritual decline. Or it may be the result of idolatry. The heart has been occupied with something else, more than with God. The affections have been set on the things of earth instead of the things of heaven. A jealous God will not be content with the divided heart. He must be loved first and best. He will withdraw the sunshine of His presence from a cold, wandering heart. Or the cause may be found in self-confidence and self-righteousness. Pride is busy in the heart, and self is exalted instead of lying low at the foot of the cross. Christian, if you are not now as you were in months past, do not rest satisfied with wishing for a return of former happiness, but go at once to seek your Master and tell Him your sad state. Ask His grace and strength to help you walk more closely with Him. Humble yourself before Him, and He will lift you up and give you yet again to enjoy the light of His countenance. Do not sit down to sigh and lament. While the beloved physician lives, there is hope. Nay, there is a certainty of recovery for the worst cases.
That in thine ocean depths
One of the chief characteristics of the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century was the preeminent place given to the Bible. The Reformers' motto was, "The Bible alone, the religion of the Protestants." Men such as Martin Luther and John Knox insisted that the Holy Scriptures contain everything necessary for Christian faith and practice. It is important for believers in the 21st century to understand the central significance of the Bible in daily living and in the battle for spiritual truth. Let the Bible Speak is making available free of charge a booklet called The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, published by the Trinitarian Bible Society. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, and we'll be delighted to provide it. On this week's broadcasts, Dr. Cairns is examining the spirituality of God's law. We've seen that the law of God is spiritual in its searching of the soul. It deals with the innermost aspects of the human condition, the sinfulness of every soul in its motives, thoughts, and actions, showing the futility of mere external religion. Furthermore, God's law is spiritual in the scope of its statutes. Although the statements of the law are clear enough, there is more to what God requires than a simple list of do's and don'ts. For instance, behind each of the Ten Commandments lies a precept that covers a whole range of human action and thought. What God requires is absolute and total obedience, something no man can do on his own. Yet, as we'll see, God has provided a means of reconciliation. Now to continue this message, the spirituality of the law, here is Dr. Cairns.
What is wrong with the sinner goes deeper than his thoughts and his words and his deeds. He does wrong because he is wrong. His words, his thoughts, his deeds are evil and wicked and depraved because by his very nature he is evil and wicked and depraved. The law of God, therefore, touches you on the level of your behavior. It goes deeper into your being and it touches you on the level of your thoughts and your feelings and your will and your motive. But then it goes deeper than that to the very being and nature of your soul. And it lays open to you and certainly to heaven the depravity and the spiritual deadness and the wickedness of that soul. What is that saying? It's saying that the law of God holds you responsible not only for what you do, what you think, and what you feel. It does all that. Let me not just rush over that. Don't let those words just bounce off your head. Think of them. Think of them. God's law holds you responsible for every single thing you do and think and feel. And then it goes to the depths of your being and it holds you responsible for what you are. Proverbs 16 verse 2 puts it this way: all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. See again the level in which man wants to operate. There's the surface obedience. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. The Lord goes to the very nature of your soul, its moral condition or state before him. The law is spiritual in its search of the soul. But second, the law is spiritual in the scope of its statutes. Let me explain what I mean. The law has a very obvious meaning. When the law of God says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, and thou shalt not covet." When the law of God says those things, there is a very obvious meaning. It is not difficult to understand. There's not a person here tonight who has the slightest difficulty understanding any one of those commandments. There's no ambiguity about the words. There is no super difficulty about the expressions. So there is no excuse for their breach. There's no excuse. You can't plead ignorance. You know clearly what the law of God is saying. It has a very obvious meaning. But as we've seen, that doesn't stop people trying to evade the strictness of the law. We're all Pharisees after a sort. And people are very good. And I'm talking to you tonight, and I'm talking to me. Let me address this to you very personally. You can stultify your conscience in many ways. You can persuade yourself the law doesn't really mean what it says it means. And you're a big enough fool to believe your own lie. Some of you are in that position tonight. That's how you stultify your conscience. The usual way of stultifying conscience is with what I would call a meager obedience. Just doing enough to be able to comfort yourself that you're staying on the right side of the law of God. But I have this to say to you. The law of God not only has a very obvious meaning, but it includes a lot more than that obvious meaning. For example, every prohibition of the law implies a contrary precept. When the first commandment says, "Thou shalt not have any other gods before me," that's a prohibition against having other gods. But the positive precept is that you must worship God and love God above all else, in heaven, earth, or hell. That's the precept. When the second commandment says, "You'll not make any graven image or any idol creature," the positive precept is, "Thou shalt worship God scripturally in spirit and in truth." Take the sixth commandment. When the law of God says, "Thou shalt not kill," "Thou shalt do no murder," the positive precept is that you shall protect life and regard it as the gift of God. When the seventh commandment says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," as the Savior makes it very clear in our Bible reading, the positive precept is, "Thou shalt live in purity with a lawful spouse." When the eighth commandment says, "Thou shalt not steal," it does say that you shall have regard for the rights of ownership legally held property. And it also says that you will exercise a just and godly stewardship of property. When the ninth commandment says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness," it is saying in the words of the New Testament that you shall speak every man truth with his neighbor. When the tenth commandment says, "Thou shalt not covet," the precept is you shall be content with such things as you have. So, behind the obvious, there is something else behind every prohibition. There's a precept. Then every commandment is actually a representative of an entire class of duties. We read tonight in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 22. Take verse 21, "Thou shalt not kill." Well, we all know what that means. There's an obvious meaning. You're not to kill. You're not to be a murderer. But then the Lord Jesus says, what's the real meaning of this? If you're angry with your brother without a cause, if you say to your brother, "Raka," or "Thou fool," that is the idea of a wicked, reprobate person destitute of all spiritual life or divine knowledge. In other words, if you let your passions get ahead of you and you're willing to curse him whom God has blessed, you stand before God like a murderer. John puts it this way in 1 John 3:15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. I wonder now, in the light of that, how many of us could say, I could stand before the judgment bar of God tonight and plead innocent. Totally innocent to the charge of murder. Where is the man who has never been unjustly angry? He has never lived outside of the God-man, Jesus Christ. Where is the man who has never hated his brother? And yet the Lord Jesus says, when the law says thou shalt not kill, that is merely a representative command of a whole class of commands. The law is spiritual. Not only that, I really have to be very careful here because I could take all night following this through. Every command of the law of God includes all the means that lead us to observe the precept or the prohibition. In other words, the law includes not only what is obvious, but also everything that incites us to do what the law commands or the law forbids. Now that has a very wide application. That brings our total life under the divine statute. Think it through now. I want you to think of this tonight. This is the spirituality of God's law in the scope of its statutes. When the law of God says, thou shalt not do this, it also means thou shalt maintain an absolute separation from everything that tends toward that thing, from everything that would be a means to the commission of that sin, for everything that would incite you toward that sin. When you think of it that way, what we watch, what we read, and what we listen to comes under the law of God. There are so many people who say, well, the Bible doesn't say anything about this, or it doesn't say anything about that, or it doesn't mention this, or it doesn't mention... Just stop and think. When God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, or thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, anything that incites you away from God comes under that command. Anything. You take what you watch on television. You take what you listen to in music. You take what you read in literature. And I don't care if it's a penny thriller or if it is one of the great works of art. Does it lead you Godward or sinward? And you'll know whether it comes under the prohibition of that first commandment or no. This takes in where you go, the kind of company you keep. And if I could touch a very delicate area, it has much to say with what you wear. You see, the Bible that says thou shalt not commit adultery says if thou shalt look with lust, that is adultery. Do you figure for a moment that the young woman who dresses immodestly or provocatively in order to be seen is not breaking that same commandment? Whatever incites to sin is itself sin. What we wear is not merely a matter of fashion. It is a matter of obedience to God. And remember that clothing was not invented by man. It was invented by God for the covering. And notice the word I'm using, for the covering of the body brought into shame by the existence of sin. And clothing is meant to be a covering, not an exposure. God's law affects every area of life.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.